Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 207, the conclusion. This is part two to These Eyes. Today is Sunday, August 14th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. We're located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you haven't joined Pastor Paul's club and you need food, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 and older, or you are disabled with proof, you can come in Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. You'll need to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. We have lots of food, so if you need food anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. You come to Pastor Paul's Club. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. And I just want to give a special shout-out and a thank you to the Sean Feinstein Foundation, who has helped Pastor Paul's for a number of years, 10, 15, lots of years, help donate to Pastor Paul's with his Feinstein match that occurs every April. And he's helped hunger partners throughout the U.S. for many years. A special thank you to you. We appreciate your support, who supported us before it became popular to support hunger issues. Thank you, Sean Feinstein Foundation in Rhode Island. Another special thank you to all you youth groups with YouthWorks who have come in this summer, who me and Pastor Paul have been able to work with. It's been great. What an encouragement you have been to Pastor Paul's Club. The work you've done is fantastic, and we're definitely going to be connecting on Facebook and at Pastor Paul's website. So we'll look for your pictures. I've got more than 300-400 pictures of you guys. And we'll see you on Flickr. Now, for Pastor Paul's podcast, this is the month of August, the hot month. Are we ready? Yes. Here are the messages. Peace, these eyes, harvest time, hunger and thirst. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Don't miss an episode. God bless you and have a great month of August.
Well, we don't want to get practical. You want to know him more assuredly? The apostle said like this, and this is after knowing him for 15 years. that I may know him. He never thought that he had attained. So many people now think they have attained. Huh? They have attained. They know Jesus. Well, I know. Do you know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? Why? I don't mean to blow my own horn. But do I know? I've been saved for 15 years, and you ask me if I know Jesus? My Jesus? Paul said, after 15 years, that I may know him. And so we also must let our eyes look right on and our eyelids straight before us. And next, I think we ought to obey Jesus Christ. Now, I just talked to you about being saved. How about being baptized? Will it get me saved? No, it's an act of obedience. Do it. If you love him, obey him. And that's for you people that are sitting in those real dead churches. Huh? You hear a quarter drop in one of them, it sounds out all over the whole place. Ding, you can hear that quarter. So does everybody else. I'm saying become Christ's absolute property. Make no reserve. Did you ever set up a reserve like they do in Animal Kingdom? They have these reserves. I think there's a lot of reserves where Christians are. Animal Kingdom. They live in these reserves. They keep these reserves for themselves. Allow no excuses. Exercise no choice. You ever exercise choice? Well, do I want to serve Jesus today or not? Let's see. Well, I got this to do. I got that to do. I got this to do. That to do. Nope. Sorry. Can't serve you today. But obey the Lord's command. How many hearing this? You know the Lord commands you to do things? You know one thing the Lord commands us to do? I command you to love one another. Why does he say that? Because we don't want to. But when you know what he commands, do it. Don't hesitate. Don't vacillate between two opinions. Don't halt between. Don't question. Don't try and avoid. Do it, and do it all at once. Do it to its very fullest. The Bible says we are bond slaves to him. We are, in other words, we are servants. Now maybe you're listening to me and you have a choice to make here. Maybe it's Jesus, in between Jesus and a person. Well, the choice is yours. But I want to tell you something. If the choice is the person or a thing, and it isn't God, it isn't Jesus Christ, you're never going to have any peace. Never. Take it from me. I know what I'm talking about. Never have any peace. Now you're not only one miserable person, but you're two miserable people. These two shall become one, and they're both miserable. They're one in misery. So don't try to avoid. Do it all at once and do it to the fullest because we're bond slaves, the Bible says, to Christ. We are more. We are servants. Paul said, let no man trouble me. Now, everybody was troubling Paul. Here he was. He was all cramped up in a little cell. I mean, the cell was big enough so that he had to stand like this, some of the cells. And just big enough where he could move, turn around in them. And they were troubling him while he was in there. And he said like this, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the end of the debate. saying, look at my whiplashes. Look at all of these broken bones. Can't you see I mean business? Preacher, do you mean business where you're at? Do you really mean business? Do you really mean it? Oh, God, you got a mean business. When you mean business, sometimes people try to stick their nose in your business, don't they? They try to put their nose in there, and Paul said, let no man trouble me. Mind your own business. Look at my track record, he said. He went on, he said, some are enjoying my prison time. Some enjoy my beatings, but I have enjoyed Christ Jesus and his sufferings. Like Paul, then Solomon says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I think not only that, I think we should be like him. Not only do as he did, but to be as he was. Bible says, as he was, so are we in this world. What does that mean? That means when you do it with all of your heart and you keep your eyes, yeah, looking right on and thine eyelids looking straight before thee and you aren't divided in your thinking, let me tell you something, then something's going to happen in your life. You're going to be dedicated to the cause of Christ and something's going to happen. As he was, so are we also in this present evil world, and you're going to be hated and despised and even in the house of your friends misunderstood. Why? Because they just don't understand that kind of dedication. That's why. Cannot understand it. See, I think what a man does is important, but what a man is all important. I am what I am, what I am. Oh, what I do is important, but what I really am is more important. What you do, well, it counts somewhat. But what you really are is really important. What are you? What are we? See, if we're followers of Christ in this present evil world, then you're going to know it. Without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to know it. Be like him. I think the ring of a false coin. You ever hear a false coin? When it drops, it sounds false, doesn't it? I'm afraid there's a lot of two-faced coins existing in the body of Christ. Phonies. Because after all, it's the substance of the metal that decides its value, isn't it? What are the substance of some people? What are we made up out of? It shows up under pressure, doesn't it? Yeah, you can say, oh, I have love. Hey, you know what? Love is tested. Eh? How much do you love God? It's going to be tested. You say, oh, God, I've heard people say, you know what? I love God. I really love God. And at first I used to admire him. I thought, well, how can you really say that? Have they hugged him? I mean, how do you love God? And I didn't know. I thought, well, maybe I have to, you know, meditate. And so I meditated. I'd sit home. Ooh, I love God. And I would sit there for hours. Nothing would happen. Nothing. I'd get hungry. I'd get up and have a ham and cheese on rye and a glass of milk and go to bed. Huh? And I thought, well, how do you love him? If you love him, you'll obey him. And when you say you love him, your love gets tested. Oh, let's show it. Let's see how much you really do love me. Come on. Do you love me 5 minutes of suffering? Do you love me 15 minutes of suffering? Do you love me enough to make it through this? Now you're sitting down at the counter and someone says, ah, ha, ha, they laugh at you because you blessed your pie. You call that persecution, and now every time you go in the bathroom to pray, huh? How much do you love me? Do you love the, are you kind of like the world type thing? You love the glitter and you love the talk and you love all of this, you know, and then this happened and that happened and so on like that and all this mystical kind of thing and you're not practical? Oh, come on, come on. Now, I'm not saying spiritual things don't happen, but a lot of this is mysticalizing. Mysticalizing, isn't it? Huh? And there's no practicality in it. Do you really love God? Well, then you will obey me. What does that mean? Well, that means, lady, you under that pile of china there, trying to get at that another book. You want to read one more book out of 49 ways to be a good Christian. Well, I'll give you one way. Obey God, get up and wash all them dirty dishes. Now, I've spoken to you. You wanted a word, you got a word. Get up and do your dirty dishes. Go over and kiss your husband on his TV pan face. Ah! Oh, I said it and I'm glad. Let your eyes look right on and your eyelids straight ahead before you, that you may be transformed from glory to glory into the image, let me finish it, into the image of the Lord. That's why you look right on and you keep the eyelids right ahead, straight before you, that you may be transformed from glory to glory into the image of the Lord. And so now we must glorify Jesus Christ. How do you do that? For the sufferings of Christ. How do you do that? You got to labor to win others to Christ. Isn't that the grand fuel of all of our energies? I want to say something, Christians, listen to me. What are we left to do in this world except to bring others to Jesus Christ? That's what we're left to do. We are to feed the hungry. We are to take care of the thirsty. We are to go out. We are to go to the prisons. We are to go to the highways and to the byways. The Bible says to all creation, and we forget this. We're not to run all over and get our flesh together in one great big wambo-bambo group and sit down until we all rot. Right now, the world is ripe. I think we ought to provoke one another, the Bible says, to good works. I tell you, it angers some Christians. And I think, oh, good. That's what I think when it angers them. Get up off it. Ooh, isn't practical experience still the best teacher, though? Isn't it? But many times it can practically kill you. Can't. But that's the way we get practical. Practical experience is the very best teacher, even though many times it can practically kill you. But it's the only way we get practical. Something hard line hits you. Now you're going to get practical. And oh, Christians, let me tell you something. This is the end of the age of claim to fame. And we're going to have to get practical. Practicality. It's called survival. It's called survival. Now you're running for your life. Now you haven't got time to get all, and then this happened, and that happened. And I asked Jesus, do you want two lumps in your coffee this morning while we were visiting? May I stir for you? Now we got to get practical. Now we have to look out, and we have to see the needs of the people, and we have to just get down to earth. See, we've been floating around in these spiritual clouds. Oh, God, people hate this because you're going to have to leave it. Oh, you're going to have to leave it. You're going to have to get practical now. Because in the end it says that God is going to allow spirits to be loose from the pit. And while you're hanging up in the clouds, darts are going to be hitting you. and you're going to come down. All that hot air is going to leave you. You're going to get down to earth in this great big airbag that you've been carrying around with this stink inside of it. Now, I know this is hard line when I'm preaching here tonight, but oh my God, how it needs to be preached. Right? Say amen, somebody. Okay, preacher, you know what I'm saying is the truth. Get practical. I mean, some will sit and learn until their head is as big and as hard as a boxer's exercise ball. You ever seen one of the boxer's exercise balls? How many have tossed one of those or two in their life? You ever seen one of them? Those exercise balls, them great big heavy balls they have. They just throw them. They weigh about, I don't know, they must weigh what, 30 pounds? And they throw it into each other's guts. But we want to learn until our head is like that. You know what? You're only 2 feet tall spiritually. You got skinny little legs and skinny little arms. And you know what? In a storm, you're going to tip over and lay there helpless, quoting scriptures, of course, perfectly. I thought about this, and the Christians, they get blown over, and they lay against this wall, see? And they've been blown over, see? Boop! And they quote scriptures. I can do all things well through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things well through... It's useless, because they haven't done anything through Christ. Nothing. They haven't done one single solitary thing. So they can quote those scriptures until those dumb cows I was talking about come home, but it won't do them no good because they've never exercised their right to do something through Christ. Nothing. They just quoted the scriptures, and that's all they want to do is quote scriptures. How'd you like to have somebody quote recipes to you when you're hungry? Would you like that? You won't say, Mom, what's for supper? And she quotes this. She opens this great big cookery book. Well, how does this hit you? Sauteed potatoes and onions with European beans. Like that, Sonny boy? Mm. And then we're gonna have these sauteed and this gravied meat, and oh, look at this. Look, here's a picture of it. That's it. That's it. How do you feel? Well, we're going to have a hamburger and French fries. Now, you like that better, right? You won't barf on that, will you? Okay. Hmm? And she just showed you a picture. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Great. It's not great, is it? You want to eat that hamburger. You want her to fix the hamburger now. Right? Hmm? Or you'll get very upset, won't you? Yes. And I get very upset with Christians that come along with recipes and formulas but never get into the meat of the thing by doing it. Come on. No, we need men and women that live to convert people to Jesus Christ through works and through actually doing something and being practical. I think any minister that doesn't have a burning desire to lead people to Jesus Christ should go out into the world where he belongs and get another job. Maybe working for the World Council of Churches, sweeping up their anti-Christ literature or something. No, we got to have our eyes right on and our eyelids straight before us. No matter what happens. I think before we ever win souls, we must live for souls. It's no good if you aren't living for souls, to try to win souls. They don't go for it. They say, well, all you're doing is giving me a picture of what a Christian should look like. Why don't you show me? Why don't you actually do something? I don't want to see pictures of your camp town meetings, of your great revivals. I want something to happen right now. I charge you, let your eyes look right on and your eyelids look straight before you. Seek souls as a dog hunts down game. Eyes in your ears and your nostrils, panting after souls. Every muscle strained. Put a little wag in your walk. Put a little wag in your walk. Isn't there a song like that? Put a little wag in your walk, huh? Prove yourself, the Bible says, to be friendly. Some will throw stones at you. Well, they do that to dogs anyway, don't they? See, converts are not gained by dreamers. No, we can't imitate Jesus Christ as the Savior of men by being dull. You know what dull is? I'll tell you what's dull to the world. Oh, God, I can't stand it. It's so dull. Here's three women. They just come out of the spiritual meeting, and they walk in. Wasn't that great? Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, what are we going to have? Oh. And the waiter comes, and he's a nice teenage boy. See, this actually happened. He's a nice teenage boy, you know. Comes there, and he has his little black tie on, you know, and his little apron on, you know. And he walks up. Can I help you? And they say, right away, before he even said anything, are you saved? And then if he says he is, then they come up with this. They said, well, do you like your job here? We're going to tell you how to claim your job to being a good job. And this kid is already mad. He hates the job, all right? What you do is you hang this sign on your refrigerator and you write down everything you want your boss to be. Now, they've never even entered into what this kid should be. And you put down there, I want my boss to be happy and to prosper and to find this joy and so on like that. And write down all these things and claim them in the name of Jesus. Now, see, this is all right. But this kid doesn't know anything about spiritual things. So he's standing there and he says, oh, great. Oh, sure, yeah. And so they start to make fun of the Christian because they're not practical. This guy has tables and tables and tables and tables to wait on. And all these people are waiting, and all these other worldly people are waiting, and they're growling. And they say, yeah. And the others agree, yes, yes. Hang him on the icebox and write all the things you want him to be. And you'll see, you claim it, and it will come to pass. Yes, it will. Quote scriptures over it every morning. You know what? Those people over there are quoting scriptures over these people sitting in this booth over here, and they're not godly ones either, see? Because you know why? A lot of times Christians are not practical, are they? Say amen, somebody. Then they get up and they leave a 15-cent tip. Say amen, somebody. They paid $4 for a piece of a pie. And they leave that's because they haven't got no money left. Anybody that spends $4 for a piece of pie has got to be nuts anyway. Say amen, somebody. How do I know that? Because I did it. How many are hearing this? Either not practical. Either that or they're stone cold dead in the market. I don't know what's worse. They're dull and they're heartless. They don't see the needs of people. They don't see the needs. What they could have done is they could have waited for the opportunity. They could have scraped all their dishes up, stacked them up. They could have been of some use. They could have been Christ-like. No, we sometimes wrap ourselves up in the flesh of self, self-pity. How many have got into self-pity this week? I did. It was fun. I stayed in there for about 5 minutes. I could have got out in about 30 seconds, but I thought, God, this is kind of nice. I haven't done this in a long time. Huh? And the tears started coming. Oh, God. It was all right. I mean, after 30 seconds, I could have quit, but I wanted to continue on. Huh? Did you ever get into that and you wanted to continue on? Did you? It's not worth your time! Or self-elevation. How am I going to get into self-elevation this week? Where you elevated yourself. Your self works. Self-gratification. Or self-recognition. Doesn't self want to be recognized all the time? Doesn't it? Even when we try to act like we don't want to be recognized. Oh, there's so-and-so. Oh, yeah, sure. Sure hard to not be recognized. Huh? And we feign that we don't want to be recognized. And if people don't recognize us, we get all ready to not be recognized. So we, hey, I just passed you. Have you got into self-recognition this week? Anybody? A little bit? Yeah, everybody gets into it a little bit, don't they? They want to be recognized. But probably you didn't recognize what a wonderful person I am. Now, just let me tell you. Put the coffee pot on. I'll tell you. Oh, God. It's a lot about me you don't know. Probably you want to know. I know you're thrilled to hear about it. Come on. Let's watch some home movies. Eh? Sure. Huh? Oh, God. I thank God I've grown out of that. I can't pity myself anymore. Nothing left. Praise God. Destroy me, Lord. God, take me out of this. Take me. Now, we can't leave. We can't say we're taken out of here, but we can be out of it quite a bit. No, listen. At any point in which we follow Christ, let us do it with all of our whole soul. Let Jesus Christ be our way in all things and keep to that way. You want to follow Christ, you listening on the radio? When you follow Him, you obey Him. When you follow Him, you'll be like Him. And when you follow Him, you'll glorify Him. And then set your ways on Him as the way. Because when you follow Him, you'll obey Him. When you follow Him, you'll be like Him. When you follow Him, you'll glorify Him. When you follow Him, you'll think of Him. When you follow Him, you'll consider Him. When you follow Him, you'll study Him. And in all things, regard Him as first and the very last to you. First, that you may know the way of life. Let your eyes be fixed on Him like never before. We must preach that. Preachers listening on the radio, tell people to fix their eyes on Christ. Maybe you're a soul and you're in the dark right now. Kneel down and pray. Look Christward. I was talking to a couple of friends today and I said, I've been neglecting prayer. I used to pray on the way to work all the time. And as of late, I would get busy with other thoughts. And so for the last couple of weeks on my way to work, I would forget to commune with God. Maybe you're sitting out there and you're bewildered. Isn't there a song like that? Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I, huh? La da 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 dee dee, huh? No, go by the way of the cross, by the way of the crucified one, for He is the true and only path. There is no other way. Don't look for one. Don't get off the path. Maybe you're a sinner and a backslider out there. We all are. Are you burdened? Run to Jesus. Any other direction will get you into trouble. Any other direction. I found out things in my life that really helped me. Wherever Christ was wounded, I was healed. Let your eyes, it says, and I'll close. Let your eyes look right on and let your eyelids look straight before you. Know the road. You never know it too well. Sometimes we think we know the road too well. We think we know the way too well. And so we get careless in our walk. Oh, I know the way. Follow me. And we just sort of meander down the road. No, the Bible says, keep your eyes straight ahead and your eyelids straight ahead. Look straight before you. Don't stop to play in mud holes along the way. Don't stop. There's others that are watching you. Keep your eyes on the road. Are you hearing this? Know the road, and you can't know it too well. And there's finger posts out there on there pointing to the way right light like never before. Let not your eyes steal that way or this way. All eyes, I'm calling you on the radio right now. Look on to Jesus and look on to me. The Bible says, you that aren't saved, look on to Jesus and be saved. The Bible talks about the plowman and the end of the furrow. And he keeps his eyes right on the end. Even so must you look at Jesus Christ only. He is all in all. Beginning and end, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Look alone to Jesus and do this with all of your whole spirit and have your spirit up. How do you get your spirit up? Get your eyes off of the flesh. I talked to a person today, and maybe this will help you out. Some people's eyes don't look right on. This man's eyes were not looking right on. His eyelids did not look straight before him, and I told him so. Because they look upon that part of the road that they've already traveled, and he was looking back on his life. And I says, you know, brother, I says, I think probably what happens to us, and you always got to put yourself in on this thing. I think that we grow content with that which we have already attained. They sort of live in a retrospection, I guess they call it. When they look back at what they have done and they smack their lips in sort of a self-satisfaction and they say, wow, just look what I've done in my walk. This is not the way we're to walk, wisdom says. It says, don't look that way. And I thought to myself, oh, poor, weak, dumb creatures that we are. Forget that which is behind and press forward, the Bible says, to something higher and better. Look back only to be happy. Only to be happy about what? About going ahead. If I've ever been happy, oh my God, listen to this. If I've ever been happy in my life, and I mean, if I've ever had to have a scripture like that in the most of my life, I know most of my life, and especially now, I'm in looking forward to going forward because there's nothing really behind that I care about. Say amen, somebody. Pressing forward, the Bible says, towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Don't look back. Don't retrospect. Don't say, look what we've done. Now we got all them cookers and down there, and I hardly even see them anymore. I come in, and they're just part of the, I mean, I praise God for them when I see them, but I don't stand there and just look at these cookers down there and say, well, look what we have done. Now, you can stand and look at that. You got to put something in that pot and start cooking with them. That's the next step, isn't it? Is that the next step? How many will have to agree that that's the next step? You can talk about 45 gallons of stew and soups and say this until you're so practiced you can get a, oh yes, we're going to make 145 gallons of soups and stews and 10,000 quarts or gallons will go out here every month and talk about it and never get it done. Because you're glorying in what you've done over there. You've got them things in. Now that's the big thing, is it? No, now it's to fill them up. Say amen. Come on now, or that big cooler down there. For 3 or 4 days, that big cooler was sitting down there with hardly anything in that thing. Why? We were glorying in the cooler. Look at the cooler. Isn't that a nice cooler? Wow. Stone floor. Moved it over. Jim brought some jacks down. Tell you exactly how it happened. Boy, we were wondering how we were going to get that wall over. Well, we beat it over with sledgehammers. Praise God, Marty come in. He was a carpenter. He nailed it back up together over there. And one guy come, he says, hey, oh, I'm so surprised. I look, oh, there's the cooler's up. And the next day, the floor was in, everything. Wow, 4 days it was done. And it was done because nothing went in that thing. We'd open it up, walk inside, walk around, and echo to each other. Hello! And the voice would come back, hello! 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 Oh, this is a nice cooler, 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 cooler. And it sat there. Why? Our eyes were not right on. And our eyelids were not straight ahead. Were they? They were turning around to what had been done. Wow. You want to know something? That cooler is full. That's where I got this message tonight. Standing inside of that cooler saying, what a nice cooler, 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 cooler. What nice pots, 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 pots. They're empty. Empty! Right? Oh, God. How do you get in on it? How do you go ahead? By going ahead. Now we got the pots. What's the next step? I caught myself and I said, I've got to get a hold of a slicer. I ran up. I knew the Lord was in it. The guy said, here, take this big $1,500 borrowing. I'll let you have it as long as you need it. Take this $1,500 piece of equipment, take it up there and dice up all the vegetables and stuff that you want. Bring it back when you need be. Yeah, sure, take it. I brought it down there and I said, well, is this a nice piece of equipment? That can slice up a whole lot of things. Did it get used? No. Not until Carolyn went over and stuck some potatoes in it and started having fun throwing them in there and watching them shoot out the other end. Isn't that the way of it, though? You get it, and then what? Wasn't that right? I mean, you get bored with it. Oh, yeah, it's cool. Sit down. Huh? Tell them to get another idea. Dead works. God. Woo! How many hearing it? Whoa! Go on! Have your eyes straight ahead and don't you be worried about what? Start dicing up them vegetables and stuff and get them in the pot! But the cooler is full. Almost had to force myself. George and I were over there today and the guy said, take those tomatoes. And I thought, boy, that's a lot of tomatoes. And I pumped this jack up and I started pulling it. You know, I mean, I'm talking about a pellet of tomatoes. And I'm thinking, oh, body, you don't like this. My legs in here were knotting up on the top. And then it jammed into the wall. Then I backed it up, and it jammed into some skids, and it jammed. Oh, God. Oh. Then the guy said, well, how much room do you have? And the thought come to my head, we're filled up to capacity. Didn't last long, though, because I put it out of my mind. And the guy said, two more skids of tomatoes. Do you know how much a skid of tomatoes is? It's a lot. It's a bunch. And so that truck sitting out there is full, and that cooler sitting down there, because the flesh did not have its way. And I got all done. I felt so good. Because I went against the flesh. And the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. It's a battle that's going to go on until the day you die. What wins? Whatever you set your mind on. Whatever you set your heart on. Get your eyes and your eyelids straight on. Get the eyes right on and your eyelids pointing straight ahead. Woo! Woo! How many hearing this message? And so can I tell you about one more guy that called me? You want to hear about him? I call him introspection. See, I think that's the same as retrospection. It's useful in its measure. But if you overdo this sort of introspection, you know what happens? You get morbid. You get morbid emotions. You start to look inside of yourself. It creates a depression. And finally, it creates, despair. Aren't some people always looking into their feelings? I was sad today. I was mad today. I was. Now, that's all right, but don't look into it. Why was I sad today? Why was I mad today? And they get into finding out why, they introspect, and they get so much into themselves, wondering why they were that way. They're a sinner. Just bark it down. You're a sinner. You got mad. You got blue. How do you get out of it? You walk out of it. Your deliverances are lefty and righty. I'm talking about your legs. Don't get into yourself. Why was that? Today we were talking about something like that. Remember you said, well, I got upset or something like that. And I'm not just using you, but I got upset. And didn't you kind of wonder, you thought about that all day and all night almost, didn't you? Why was I that way? Because the flesh is nasty. Nasty, Dwayne. Nasty. Everybody's flesh is nasty. That's why you got that way. That's why you felt like poking your boss in the face. Right? Say amen. Yes. Nasty. You got it down now? Our flesh is nasty. Don't introspect and wonder why you were that way. You're that way. You were born that way. If you could have, when the doctor spanked you, you would have poked him in his face. Right? Yes. Yes. We all need Christ. Introspection is all right, but when you carry it too far, you get sort of morbid. You get sort of depressed. You end up in despair. You're always saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Have you been around somebody that's always sorry? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Huh? You guys, you listen on the radio. Do you get that way with your wife? You're always saying you're sorry? That's why she says, oh, shut up! No, I got 5 more minutes here. I want your undivided attention for 5 more minutes. Don't freak out on me. Now, if you're a healthy man, you're going to hardly even know that you have a kidney or a liver. No. But a sickly man grows more sickly by the study of his most inward complaints. I asked a guy the other day, and I made a mistake by asking him. I asked him like this. I said, how are you feeling? And you know what? He did all but hand me a roadmap of his body. Pulled up his shirt, showed me every star he had, showed me this and showed me that. He showed me a roadmap of every ill that he ever had in the whole of his life. And see this little alley right here? Oh, that's when I fell out of a tree and broke my little finger. Oh, was that ever painful? And it went on and on and on and on. So I said, man, I tell you what, many of us wound ourselves by studying ourselves. Every morning they think like this. They think, how should I feel this morning? And all day long they dwell upon what they are not feeling. Why do I feel this way? Why can't I be like that person over there? Look how happy they are. Then they get home at night and they search and search for what they have been feeling. And they add up their whole day and they find no profit whatsoever. How long do you have to look into an empty purse or an empty billfold before you'll admit that you're broke? How long must you look back into your fallen nature before you realize that that fallen nature is empty and it's dry and there's nothing back in that world that's any damnable good at all and give it over or anything that's taken you away from the cross of Christ and my God, once and for all, give it up? How long do you have to look back into that useless existence that once was to know that it's hopeless and that it stinks and that it's dead? So forget about yourself, the song says. Concentrate on Christ and worship Him.
That was the conclusion to episode 207. That was part 2, These Eyes. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes to the messages, as well as scripture links that are within each message. So be sure to check those out. Be sure to join us next Friday for episode 208, Harvest Time. Can't wait for that. Have a great week. God bless you.
You got to move. When the law